Well, welcome to Mission Sunday. And if you're in person, that's fantastic. Glad you joined us. You got out of the rain and come inside to this beautiful place. If you're watching online, we're so glad that you've joined with us. We hope that today you will experience a glimpse, a small glimpse into what's going on around the world in missions. And probably already you've seen a bunch of people gathering in the foyer with different booths out in the foyer. This is unlike any other craft fair or thing that you would attend. These are people that are serving in different places. I would strongly encourage you to not just walk by them when you leave here, but go and talk to them. Spend some time hearing more stories about what's going on around the world. Because you see, Central Heights Church, we are 75 years old, and this church is actually established as a missions kind of a church. In the early days, this church met over in the part of the building that still exists, by the way, 75 years ago, and was speaking German at the time. This is a Mennonite church, and so the sermon was in German. And the leaders of the church in that day decided, we need to become more contemporary and be able to witness to the people in Abbotsford. And the church decided to stop speaking German in the services and to preach in English. This church has a DNA of missions. Over the years, we've supported probably thousands of missionaries around the world. We currently support about 50 missionaries right now. A big part of our budget is to missions. And I dare say that many of you have also been involved in missions right now. In fact, you're going to hear this theme throughout this service that we're actually all called to missions. I read from our Bible that talking about going and making disciples. So we're all in this together. So thank you for those that have served in many different ways. Thank you for those that are continuing to serve in full-time ways. And thank you to you, because you're a missionary right now. And so we're going to see a number of different things. We're going to have some interviews. We're going to see some videos. We've got a unique service today, and I hope that you really enjoy it. And I'm going to call the women who went down to Guadalajara to come on up here. And they're going to do a little presentation for us of their trip that they recently went on. Yeah, you can applause. This service is going to be very interactive, so you know you can interact with the people that are happening here.
I'm just going to start by introducing us, because sometimes people are like, well, who are those women up there? We don't know. And also, just to say that if you haven't heard that our church has a partnership with a church in Mexico, sorry about that. We've had it for several years now, and it's just been an ongoing mutual encouragement. So we decided to go, and we went in June, and eight of us went. Rusha is away right now and doing a family thing, so keep praying for her. And then she's our women's pastor. Debbie Dick came with us, Vivian Gregg, myself, I'm Vonnie, Marina, Sandra Cannon, Annika Bergen, and Tana Suderman. And I've asked Marina to kind of represent what went on there, and we're not the only ones that can go. Like, lots of people can go and be mutually encouraged, too.
Good morning, Central Heights. So, as Vonnie said, Central Heights began partnering with La Cantera in Guadalajara about 11 years ago. La Cantera is actually a smaller home church in Guadalajara. The pastor is Tonio, who heads up several ministries, along with his wife Giovanna and other family members. This year, CHC women were invited to participate in their Retiro de Damas, or as we would say, the women's retreat. We left on June 9th and headed south. For a few of us, this was our first foray into any sort of missions trip. We even had one member of our team where everything about it was a first, including getting on a plane. This is Nayeli, our very incredibly gracious host. Guadalajara is Mexico's second largest city, with buildings in history that go back at least 500 years. La Faro is a district about an hour away from the home church, where the pastor's sister and others provide a Bible study and activity for the kids every week. The children, The children did seem to enjoy their Canadian visitors as we sat and attempted to talk with them in our broken Spanish. One boy asked, what is the time difference between Guadalajara and where we live in that far-off country of Canada? And he was shocked to find out it was only 1 hour. But, however, none of us knew enough Spanish to be able to explain the curvature of the earth and the fact that we were all on the same longitude. If any of the parents got something out of the terrific message that Vani shared that evening, it's likely a miracle, because the deluge that we experienced created such a racket on the metal roof of the room we were in that we couldn't hear anything. We had intended to do a flores en limpia pipas craft with the kids, but the thunderstorm caused a rainout. So these pictures behind me were actually taken the following week after we had left. This top that I'm wearing is from a six-year-old who left that evening and immediately came back with her mom and gifts for all of us, simply to show her appreciation for us being there. Matthew Center is a multiplied leadership training facility began in 2006 by Joan and Trevor Goddard, along with Sandra Plett and Jennifer Schmidt. El Centro Mateo is a place where disciples of Jesus are trained. It is an amazing retreat center. The final 3 days of our time was spent fitting in where we could at the women's retreat. Some of our group prepared talks, all of us participated in the service groups, and we got to run games and evening s'mores. We worshiped and sang together long into the night. One of our group felt that they experienced a glimpse of what heaven will be like one day when every language and nation will come together and worship him. We found the testimonies by the many women from La Cantera who shared about God's work in their lives through incredibly difficult times was truly inspiring. One speaker put it, "If you want to confuse the enemy, be joyful, even if life offers no reason." It was amazing how easy it was to connect with others, even when you don't know their language, as most of us didn't. And a quick shout out to Annika and Tanis for the heavy lifting they did as our translators throughout that week. In a way, this shirt is a visual reminder that our group was simply a collection of people from Central Heights who made ourselves available and who chose to be present. Other than a love for our neighbors, whoever they might be, wherever we might find them, we had little to offer. The level of gratitude and enthusiasm and welcoming that we received because we chose to be present and available was incredibly humbling. When our group thought about how would we want to continue the connections that we've made, we very easily came up with by continuing to support and having a team go back, and not just because of the amazing food that we were fed. We saw that the Lord is at work. They are hungry for more of God. Let's join them on that journey, proclaiming freedom, strengthening marriages, walking with hope side by side. We felt the mutual encouragement needs to continue as we build relationship with the people of La Cantera. It would be wonderful to have the pastor Tonio and Giovanna come to us one day. We also saw that there's a contingent of young leaders in Guadalajara who are ready to be supported and empowered. If you're feeling curious and or inspired, come talk to Vani. There is more that we can do to make ourselves present and available for God's work.
Fantastic. So yeah, we've been involved with La Cantera Church for a number of years. Start off as just an acquaintance, and then we started dating them, and then we got engaged, and now we're married. And one of the things that is really important to us is that we stay connected to them. So we're going to show a little video. I got to read some English here because it's in Spanish, about from Pastor Tonio and Giovanna. Hello, Central Heights Church.
Somos Antonio y Giovanna.
We are Antonio and Giovanna from La Cantera Church. And what is happening at La Quintera? Well, we just had a ladies' retreat, which was wonderful. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the ladies you sent to Guadalajara to serve with us. It was a very blessed time. Well, what is going on? Well, we have a ministry that was just started a month ago in which unsaved people came to our church to do physical exercise. We were lending them the church, and we started to share with them. First, we want you to know, we want to know them and love them so that we can present the plan of salvation to them. At La Ferro, which is an area which we are trying to church plant, we are still very active. We currently have 30 children in attendance, from teachers and teenagers and toddlers, and they are being discipled. What else? We're still at the work in Vistas del Centella, and above all, we are very grateful to you for connecting, for loving us, for making us feel like family, and we thank you so much and love you with all our hearts.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Yeah. You've often heard Tonio and Giovanna, and we felt like we just need to show their faces a little bit and hear from them and their hearts. And a lovely couple, and if you want to connect with them, I have contact information, and it'd be awesome if you were able to send them a message through WhatsApp. I'm going to invite Dawson and others to come up here now, and we're going to do a bit of a panel discussion.
Good morning. I'm Dawson Suderman. I'm on the Missions Council here at Central Heights. I figured we would just do a quick intro of each of you guys and where you are currently ministering and how long you've been ministering for.
Well, good morning, Central Heights. My name is Mike Woodard, and I am working with Power to Change Canada. And I've done that since 1977. Student ministry for many years, family life ministry in the last couple of years, staff care and HR.
My name is Harold Clausen. I work for Teach Beyond, used to be named Jan's Team Ministries. I started in 1977 also, it was a good year. And started in Germany, teaching at a school for missionary children, and the last 25 or so years have been involved internationally with working with teachers.
Good morning, my name is Greg Sawatsky. I work with Youth Unlimited here in Abbotsford, and I was born in 1987. And I've been with Youth Unlimited for 11 years now.
All right. So what motivated you to become a missionary, and how did you feel God calling you to this work?
Well, I, in my third year of university, was in an ecology course. I went to university with the desire of making an impact on the world. I had become a Christian before that, but wasn't walking with the Lord. By my third year, I was in this ecology course. The professor made a statement that caught my attention. He said, you know, in ecology, we have lots of solutions. Science and technology provides, but there's a problem. And the problem is with the hearts of people. And it was like this moment where God connected the dots for me in that if I wanted to have an impact in the world, I had to be involved in changing the hearts of people. God had changed my heart, transformed my mother's life dramatically, and I'd seen guys in my dorm come to Christ. That sent me on the journey of becoming a full-time worker.
After high school, 2 years after I had spent a year studying at Simon Fraser's, studying science, and a year studying the Bible, And then I had a problem because I didn't know which way I should go. Should I go in pursue the study of science, which I loved, or the Bible, which I knew was very important? During a radio broadcast, God whispered two words to my heart: missionary teacher. And that was a revelation. He said, oh, if I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to need to study God's world to be able to teach about it. And to be a missionary, of course, I'm going to have to study the Bible. Probably I'll go to another country, and that's about all that I knew about that. I've spent the last 55 years finding it out really what a missionary teacher is, but that was the start.
When I was 19, I did the Trek program through MBE Mission, and I went to New Delhi, India for 7 months. After that, I went to Columbia Bible College, and part of that was a third-year internship in Guadalajara, Mexico. Actually, my wife and I, who did the internship at the same time, met Tonio and Giovanna even before they started that church plant, which is kind of a cool connection. From there, we ended up going to South Korea to teach English for a year and a half. And so each of those experiences really grew in me just this passion and heart for other people groups, other cultures, other languages, even other religions. And so when we were looking to come back from Korea, I told my wife how I would really love to work with the South Asian community here in Abbotsford, but I had no idea what that would look like as like a career or as work. And at that exact same time, Youth Unlimited was looking to hire somebody to start a brand new outreach to the South Asian community in Abbotsford. And so life experience, a passion and a heart for other cultures and an opportunity is kind of what led me to what I'm doing.
So what have been some of the most challenging aspects of your work, and how have you overcome those?
Yeah, I'd say one of the biggest challenges has been having this desire to see youth and families come to know Jesus and not seeing obvious results. We've had to think through how to define success in ministry. We see God working in hearts and lives in small ways through openness to us in the community, and through opportunities to mentor and have faith conversations. But it is tough soil, and results can be slow. For me, it is important to remember that God is the one who brings transforming change, and he's the one at work in their hearts and lives. My job is to be faithful to what he has called me to do, where he has placed me, and to position myself well through prayer and consistent presence in order to represent him well to those around me.
As I thought about becoming a missionary, one of the hurdles in my mind was the idea that I was going to have to raise support, ask people for money to be a part of what, so I could go and do the work that God had called me to. How did I overcome that? One part of it was to understand that I wasn't asking people to give me money. I was asking them to invest in what God was doing, and they were able to invest in ways that I couldn't do, and they couldn't do the part that I was doing. Also, I had seen that can be a challenging thing, but over the years I've seen that God takes care of your needs, and he doesn't leave you wanting because of how you get your support. Second issue for me was separation from my family and my kids. Often we were on three or four different continents, and that's not easy, but God enables me to have all kinds of new friends, to meet people and build relationships with a large part of his family. And so we can spend time together and value that. And also, I'd have to admit that I think that one of the ways I coped was just to be a bit hard-hearted and immerse myself in my work. Now, that's not a good way to do it, but I think that actually that's one of the things that did happen.
Well, as you can imagine, over the many years, there are many, many challenges. But I want to tell you about the first one. The first challenge I had to overcome was my sense of woeful inadequacy. And in my fourth year, as I was considering stepping into ministry, I said to my roommate, "Tom, do you think I could do this?" And he flipped his Bible open and he read me a passage from Judges. It was a story about Balaam and Balaam's donkey. And as Balaam was riding in his donkey to curse the nation of Israel, an angel appeared. The donkey saw it, Balaam did not. And as Balaam beat the donkey, God opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey spoke to Balaam. And Balaam's eyes were open to see the angel. And I thought, what does this have to do with me? And my roommate said, "You know, Mike, if God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through you." True story. And I've thought of that many times in the many challenges of ministry.
Hi, Central Heights family. We are the Millers. We have been serving in Southeast Asia for over 8 years now and in New Delhi for over a year and a half. This is my husband, Andrew. My name is Carly. This is our son, Jonathan. He's 3. And this is our son, Emmanuel. He is 1. We're excited to tell you more about us.
Here in India, our main focus is on discipling, training, and empowering local believers. We do this through a variety of training schools, conferences, and programs. For example, our discipleship training school gathers 15 to 20 young believers for 6 months of in-depth training and transformation, where we dive deep into scripture to learn about topics like identity in Christ, missions and evangelism, or the freedom and healing that's found in the gospel. More than just studying, we take those young adults into outreach programs alongside of us, where they have an opportunity to actively live out and apply all that they're learning in the classroom. Our focus in these past few months has been shifting to build more follow-up trainings that will provide these young leaders with the tools needed to serve in additional ministries like church planting, international missions, and Bible translations. As foreigners living in this beautiful nation, we know that it's our calling to do everything we can to serve, build up, honor, and empower the local believers to live out all that God has for them. And that's why we're here in India.
Thank you so much for your continued prayers and support as we work together to expand God's kingdom and share the gospel across Asia.
So can... can you share a story where you saw significant impact or change because of your efforts?
Well, when I was a campus ministry staff at Carleton University, we planned a debate. And the debate was on the topic of God's existence. And the non-Christian debater was Henry Morgenthaler, who many of you could possibly recognize his name as the person who led the movement towards legalizing abortion in Canada. So the morning that we were hosting this debate, we were praying and really asking God, what do you want to do? The media was showing up and it was quite a big thing. And in that moment as we were praying, God gave me a picture, and it was a picture of an artist's studio. And there were great masterpieces on the wall. And the artist walked in the door and began to prepare to paint. And I was almost excited as I thought about getting to see this. And then he stopped. There was the easel, there were the paints, but something was missing. And it was brushes. And in that moment, it was like God said, "You know, Mike, I just want you to be the brush in my hand. I will create the masterpiece." One of the students who responded to an event like that, I asked the question, his name was Peter. I said, "Peter, do you ever think about God or things like that?" And he said, "Yeah, in fact, in the summer, I was in a serious car accident and I almost died." And as I shared the gospel with him, his heart was so prepared. He opened the door of his heart to Christ right there. We met for weeks doing follow-up. And at Christmas time, Peter died. And I'll never forget the phone call when I phoned the house he was living in, and they said, "Oh, haven't you heard? Peter died." And I thought, wow, God used me as his brush to create an eternal destiny in Peter's heart. And all of us get that privilege.
In 2001, I had a trip to East Asia and was working with expat teachers there. But they locked me in a room with two national teachers because the security situation was so bad. They wanted me to share something about what Christ-centered, Bible-based education could look like in that country. Through the years, I had opportunities to go back many times. And but in 2019, it became impossible for me to go back there. So I began an online course, working with someone to help translate. I don't speak the language. And then they decided they'd take over the course themselves. And I felt kind of neglected, being redundant. But as I've thought about it, that was probably the best thing that ever happened. They were prepared to take over the courses that I'd been doing. My translator now continues the work of online teacher education, mentoring teachers, and in the things that God's doing. And even though external pressure has made them, the schools that they have, much smaller, house schools, home, little apartment schools, God is still at work. And that's a success. I had the opportunity on Friday to reconnect with that teacher in a class that I'm still offering. And that was a special confirmation that God is able to use me and has done something in people's lives.
One of the aspects of our ministry that I get very excited about is how we invite student leaders back to serve alongside us in ministry. Student leaders are typically older youth or young adults who have been a part of our programs for sometimes up to 6 or 7 years. As student leaders, they get to participate in our club or our youth nights. They get to connect and build into younger youth. They get to join in our team debrief, training times, prayer times. And they get to receive intentional mentoring from our staff. And often a lot of these youth still haven't yet accepted Christ, but they're really leaning in, and it just gives us more opportunities to connect with them. So that's one part. And then a second thing, just three of these girls actually last year, through an invitation, decided to join through our Greater Vancouver Youth Unlimited missions trip to Rwanda. And so again, they aren't yet followers of Christ, but they leaned into this and they went and helped run a VBS, and they were doing actions and songs and all those kind of things. And they got to receive a lot of Bible-based training. And so it's just been really cool to see our students really leaning into what we're doing and joining us in what we're doing.
All right. And finally, what would you say to someone who might be interested in serving as a missionary?
Yeah, I think I would just say identify a God-given passion or desire that is strongly on your heart. Maybe there's a social justice issue, or maybe there's a cultural group or a language. Maybe it's just a specific skill that you have. What makes you come alive? God has made you who you are for a reason. Pray into that God-given desire. Find spaces where you can serve using those passions and desires, and dream big as to how God might want to use you to love this world that so desperately needs his love.
I think I'd say three things. First of all, cross-cultural kingdom work is normal. It isn't just something for special people. From the very beginning of God's work in the church, he had people involved in other cross-cultural situations. And you don't have to go across an ocean to find those. They're challenging, but they will help our vision of God to expand. The cultural blind spots we have, the selfish, self-centered autopilots that we go through life with will be challenged, and we will begin to understand how much we need God in every area of life. And with great challenges come great opportunities, and that is something that I've experienced as I've gone to different places. I've seen God at work. He isn't just at work at Central Heights and in the area, the things we know about. Every place we go, we're able to see God at work, and that's a unique opportunity that those that get involved in foreign missions have.
At the beginning of the service, Rod read the Great Commission, so you're all on the line here. We are all missionaries. So start where you are. Pray that God would give you eyes to see those around you, that you are the missionary to reach that nobody else can. So here's your assignment. Your assignment is, first of all, to pray. Just pray and say, God, open my eyes to the people around me. And the second assignment is, ask the question of somebody, hey, I'm curious, do you ever think about God or things like that? And allow God to use you. And as you do that, if he's called you to full-time ministry, you're going to know it, because he will reveal it to you as you're obedient in your day-to-day life.
Thank you. Why don't we give them a round of applause?
Hey, Central Heights Church. My name is Sam Dick. I serve with Multiply, and I'm also the co-owner of Lighthouse Coffee Roasters. Thank you so much for being the first church. Did you know that you're the first church over 3 years ago to start purchasing Lighthouse Coffee and serving it in your lobby and in your cafe? By purchasing this specialty coffee, Central Heights, you are participating in a vision to aid in the sustainability of a little business in Myanmar. In a second, you're going to meet Layar. She is a gifted entrepreneur. She's the CEO and disciple maker in a church planting movement. One day, I hope you all can meet her. She'll captivate you with her passion for Jesus and her hope for Myanmar. Come and see me after the service and purchase your very own bag of Lighthouse Coffee, and you too can join the story and be a part of this vision. Take it away, Laya.
There's so many to be thankful for today, and especially be thankful for stay be able to explore to the Canada. Even every year get more difficulty in our country, Myanmar. And then we thankful for the partnership with Lighthouse Coffee Roaster and other churches in Canada during this difficult and challenging time in our country. The coffee has been a blessing to the life of so many people, and many internally displaced people were fed, and young men are safe from the war. Why it is a difficult, incredible difficult situation, we still get an opportunity to share the gospel, because in times of trouble, people come to open to the gospel the most. Providing job in coffee sorting, and then that also gave us an opportunity to share with the, to share the gospel with so many people. And some people come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and as next stop, they are joining our discipleship training, and then now they are serving in church planting. Therefore, we thank God and we praise God for giving this coffee business in our hand to serve in His kingdom. And then we praise God for getting opportunity to export this year coffee harvest from Naga, where there is no economic opportunity, and most men in the family is struggle with opium addiction. And so because of this, there's no peace, there's no love and blessing in the family. Mothers are struggle, and they are carry heavy burden in the family to provide their family basic needs. Their education for children are an unreachable dream in the family. This is our prayer to continue to grow and produce more coffee year after year, so that we may see the family have a sustainable income and then fulfill with love, peace, and blessing, and become the discipleship who make disciple. Thank you so much for drinking our coffee in your every morning, and thank you, and God bless you all.
Yeah, it's important to know that that's the coffee that we're selling in Central Cafe every Sunday. And we wanted to show you just a small glimpse of what's happened there. And it wasn't super clear in the video, but those coffee plantation was an opium where they grew opium. And they've converted that, redeemed the land in a way. And that's the coffee you're drinking this morning. You got a small glimpse of all the different things that are happening here in missions. You're catching a small glimpse when you go into the foyer and see and hear the stories of what's happening around the world. We pray that you would continue to expand that glimpse, that it would grow and grow. And there's a couple ways that we're doing that. One is by giving you a global daily every month. And so if you want curious about what is this global daily, it's a prayer guide. So often people come and say, how do I pray? What should I pray for? Well, this is a tool that we use. You can find it on our website under ministries, and then you find global missions. And then in the global missions section of our website, you see global daily. It's a downloadable thing that you can download and just go through every month as you pray. There's hard copies in the back over on the stand over there if you'd like to see one. The other thing you can do is get to know missionaries. On our website, again, you see web links to different missionaries that we support, and the ones that are here would love to send you an e-newsletter. This is kind of a new thing nowadays. You don't have to receive anything in the mail. Well, it doesn't work anyway. But electronically, you can get a newsletter. And there's some amazing stories. You will be inspired to hear what's going on around the world. And don't just receive the email. Email them back. Give them words of encouragement. Say that you're just praying for them. That would really expand your horizons and let our missionaries know that you're supporting them and caring for them. So those are just a couple ways. Mission Sunday is really important to me personally. When I was a small boy, I was sitting close to the front row in a church, not this one, but a front row of a church, and I was determined when I went to that service that I was going to become a Christian. It just happened to be Mission Sunday. And so the pastor or missionary was from Ivory Coast, I think. I wasn't listening to what he was saying. But I put my hand up because I wanted to become a Christian so bad. The whole point of Mission Sunday, the whole point of all the things that our missionaries are doing, the whole point of the Great Commission is that you know and follow Jesus. So maybe you're here today and you have not done that. You have not made that step. I would encourage you today, just like I was that little boy who just put his hand up, that you would receive Jesus. It will change your life forever. And for the rest of us, to be able to say, that's a story that's changed my life. I can't keep it to myself. We have to share this because that's going to make the difference in this world. That's what Jesus himself has called us to do. So at the end of the service, there's going to be people up here praying. If you would like to just acknowledge that you became a Christian here for the first time, just come up and talk to one of these people. That's too scary. Tell the person that you came with. Or maybe you're kind of feeling this tug that you need to join the mission field. And you just want someone to pray with you. We're going to have an opportunity for that at the end too. So let's respond in worship together, and then we'll close in prayer.